This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien, our rock star today, and he's a brain rock star. Babak Kateb, the founding chairman and CEO, brain mapping is what he does. And you got to listen to this because this is the future of how you're going to operate your business, the future of how you're going to save money, the future of how the world can save money. And it's always good to have a brain mapper in the building.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
So what is brain mapping?
Well, imagine brain mapping as a Google map.
Mm-hmm.
You get a snapshot of Earth, that's the MRI. You zoom down on cities, that's your functional MRI. Zoom further to roads, that's brain connectomic or diffusion tensor imaging. You see cars on the road, those are cellular structure or cells, and people in the car, those are subcellular structures and genomic structures, so or nanoscale structures.
Right. So. And the end goal is to what?
End goal is to basically map the human brain from imaging all the way down to the nanostructure, to the genomic level.
But you were showing me some video where mm-hmm. you can actually make cells activate
correct.
To prevent or stop brain cancer and that sort of thing.
Correct.
And that's what's interesting to me.
That's called nanoneurosurgery, using mm-hmm. nanotechnology to activate immune cells of the brain and basically let them attack the brain cancer. And we could also use that in Alzheimer and Parkinson and other brain disorders basically use nano platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Their subcellular structure at the level of DNA and attack the malfunction in the cell. So basically treat people at the cellular level.
And in many ways, you're an entrepreneur because you wrote a textbook.
Yes.
Why are textbooks so heavy?
Yeah, because it takes 5 years to put it together.
So well, no, but I mean, you don't have to make them. It's a heavy textbook, but it's obviously good. Well, I guess what people want to know is how close are we to really conquering this science?
Well, that's a very good question, actually. And in the past, the disciplines of science were not communicating together.
Mm-hmm.
But we came up with a Society for Brain Mapping and Therapeutic to allow cross-pollination of ideas, allow interaction between physicists and chemists and neurosurgeons and radiologists and neurologists, neuroscientists and computer scientists in one convention. Through that convention, as you mentioned, we have introduced numbers of inaugural textbooks. One is textbook of nanoneurosurgery published by CRC Press, and the second one is a textbook of neurophotonics and brain mapping using photons in the light, basically stimulating cancer cells and abnormal cells to detect them and treat them. So basically today, because of Society for Brain Mapping and Therapeutics, we allow interaction between physicists and optical engineers and neurosurgeons, so new generation of therapeutics and diagnostics are possible.
Is there a central area where all this information goes? I mean, do you all share?
Yes, so we share that in our World Congress for Brain Mapping. The next one, which I would like to invite you to, is on April 18th through 20th of 2017. That's our 14th World Congress for Brain Mapping and Therapy in LA at the Biltmore Hotel. We have about 350 speakers from different disciplines of science talking basically across the board of neurological disorders in terms of disease mm-hmm. and platforms. Yeah,
I guess the end game for brain mapping is it's basically studying the brain.
Correct.
Is to find out how to stop things that are killing us.
Study function and malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing the function, we don't know what malfunction looks like. So we don't really know, many of the structures of the brain. And, we don't know the behavioral aspects of the brain. So really, we are trying to better understand the function to be able to tackle the malfunction.
And why is there such a big interest in this now? I mean, not now, in the last few years.
Well, from the economical standpoint, both from technology and from the economical standpoint. Mm. So I'm chairing the G20 World Brain Mapping Initiative. So we basically started this at the G20 Summit in Australia 2 years ago. And this year was a third year in China. And if you look at the cost of neurological disorders to the world economy, it's pretty staggering. If dementia was a country, it would be number 18 on the GDP. Hmm. The cost of dementia to the world economy is about $1 trillion per year.
And people missing work or making a mistake at work.
Correct. And, yeah. And then the healthy group of people, like us, maybe. They have to, you know, I'm referring to myself, I have a high cholesterol. So basically have to pick up the cost for the unhealthy one. So I think if you look at it from an economical standpoint, there is a huge difficulty here. But as Albert Einstein says, at the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. So you can actually use this issue of the cost of neurological care to the world economy and bring scientists together, as we do in our World Congress, and come up with the new ideas that could be translated to a biotech and then basically use those ideas, raise money, introduce new therapeutics and diagnostics, and tackle this neurological disorder from both business side and scientific side.
We're talking the inner workings of the brain with Babak Kateb. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. So, I mean, how close are we to finding out the end of the solution to cancer, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's?
Well, that's a tall order, obviously.
I want the exact date and
right
time.
Now, exactly. So it's hard to say that, but it's a good question. How far are we? In terms of diagnostics, we are further into better diagnosing this horrific disease. In terms of therapeutics, as we discussed, using nanotechnology, we could actually activate immune cells of the brain to attack the neurological disorder. So using nanoneurosurgery for immunotherapy. So there are companies out there that basically are in first three clinical trials for brain cancer, for instance, immunocellular therapeutics to be one of them. So as scientists from different disciplines come together, and as we introduce new generation of supercomputing and artificial intelligence and predictive modeling, we basically expediting this process. So I would not actually be surprised if in next 10 years we will make a huge steps toward.
And isn't brain research cancer exponential? In other words, every time you get into a brain and use a lot of light and stuff to ignite the cells, you learn twice as much as you did last time, maybe, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. As I showed you in that video, we can use light to excite certain structures and proteins in the cancer cell, knowing what the normal look like, as I said before, through brain mapping. We now know cancers have a different reflection than normal cells. Imagine like a tennis ball. You throw a tennis ball to a wall, comes back over time with a different speed, faster than throwing the tennis ball to a curtain. It drops right down. So basically, same thing applies with neurophotonics. You use a photon and toss it to a cell with cancer, you're going to have a different reading over time than normal cell, and you can basically differentiate between normal cell and cancer cell and extract that.
And the future of solving all these things in our lifetime?
Yeah, basically going back to nanoneurosurgery.
Right.
Basically, if you have a nanoparticle that can actually repair this misfolded protein.
And you've proven that can be done, right?
And in many of the scientists in this field are actually showing that nano drug delivery could actually repair some of these cellular interactions and also abnormalities. So there's a hope. There's a hope that we will be able to target these misfolded proteins in a very precise manner and be able to actually repair at the cellular level.
When was the last biggest breakthrough in brain mapping?
The last biggest breakthrough is basically neurophotonics. It's emerging platform using photons to differentiate between normal cells and
the cells react to the light, right?
Correct. And they basically reflect light with a different signature. So if you're a normal cell, the light absorption and reflection is different than a cancer cell. So that's a really new kind of a generation of scientific discovery coming to light. And the other one is nano neurosurgery. It really is breaking through drug delivery and how we specifically target cancer cell versus like carpet bombing using current chemotherapy.
Right. This is Business Rockstars. We're talking brain mapping. I'm Pat O'Brien, back in a minute.
Court Furniture Clearance Center for up to 70% off new retail prices. You never know what kind of court-certified treasures you'll find. And the best part? It's court bonus rewards time. Earn bonus rewards in our clearance centers from April 4th through April 30th, 2019. Get $25 in bonus rewards on every $250 spent after all discounts and before taxes applied. Court bonus rewards aren't transferable, can't be exchanged for actual cash, and are not valid with any other offers, discounts, or special buys. Redeem your court bonus rewards May 1st through May 10th, 2019. Go to courtclearancefurniture.com today.
Hey, cybercriminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
It's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. He is Babak Kateb, who is an expert and a leading expert in brain mapping. How can we live to keep our brains healthy? What does a healthy brain mean anyway?
Yeah, so I think a healthy brain means a brain that is nourished well. So I think if you exercise well, you're going to increase blood flow to your brain, and then you basically have a condition that provide more oxygenation to the brain. So that will improve your memory and then also ability to rejuvenate or repair the brain.
How do you find the brains to look at? I know that sounds stupid, but do you do it during a normal brain surgery or these videos that you showed me?
Yeah, so I think...
Can't be somebody volunteering for that.
Well, no. Those are basically... The video that you saw was an operation by a colleague that basically was removing a brain cancer, but using actually light to detect the margin of the tumor. Because as you detect the margin of the tumor, you have the ability to resect the entire tumor as you can see it. We call it complete resection. And there are papers out there published by some of our colleagues at UCSF showing that basically you triple the survival. So how do we find a brain? Postmortem brains are basically donated to brain banks. Mm-hmm. So there are brain banks across the country. So you could actually request certain part of the brain. But in terms of live brain cells, obviously, through collaboration with neurosurgeons who are part of the our global consortium.
What does this have to do with business? We talked earlier about the kind of money that you could save.
Correct.
First of all, how much money do you guys get? I mean, are you funded well enough?
Well, we're not funded well enough because this is a huge problem, and you're talking about $1 trillion cost to the world economy only for dementia. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about the cost of neurological disorders to U.S. economy around $400 billion with B per year. So there is a great need for global initiatives and a great need for government, nonprofit, private industry partnership. So we actually advocated for Obama's Brain Initiative. I was at the White House with the President Obama when he announced the initiative. And we're now basically formulating a new initiative, basically establishing what's called the Brain Technology Park. And the job of Brain Technology Park is basically to bring scientists from academia and industry leaders and government agencies and initiative together to consolidate our base from the knowledge standpoint, but also from the financial standpoint. So we avoid duplication of the work. Let's say you are studying brain cancer, I study brain cancer, but we are not communicating with each other, so we may be
duplicating. I think a lot of people hide their findings, right?
Correct. And share finding and also basically formulate a better way of collaboration. Mm-hmm. One of our problems in neuroscience is lack of collaboration. It's not really the money. That is our first problem. The problem is lack of collaboration and culture of collaboration. Because most scientists
they
don't want to share in a way that is going to really help in a bigger picture. And the reason for that is intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And intellectual property issue could be solved, but also another problem is that organizations don't share. You have organizations that they are working on Parkinson, Alzheimer, ALS. They raise a lot of money, but they don't collaborate. Lack of collaboration really is pretty obvious across the disciplines of neuroscience. And that's why Society for Brain Mapping and Therapeutic reaching out through initiatives and world congresses, reaching out to about 250 nonprofits and associations saying that, look, let's collaborate. You know, you are good in Parkinson, you're good in Alzheimer, in ALS, but how about a new generation of, scientists that are coming out of the physics departments, coming out of photonics? So let's fill up the gap of education among ourselves.
Yeah. Our guest is Babak Khattab. He's a brain mapper, neuroscience and nanoneuroscience, right?
Yes.
He's our guest today on Business Rockstars. Let's talk about the business end of this. Help or hurt? It takes a lot of money, doesn't it?
Actually, it's going to help, and it does not hurt. It doesn't take that much money, too. Give you an example. One of my colleagues and great friend is Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, who come up with a new idea using a nano drug to attack breast cancer and lung cancer. And he had this idea. He goes to many pharmaceuticals, and they say, oh, look, you know what? This is not our interest. And then he starts his own company called Abraxas Bioscience and basically commercialize this technology and save many, many lives and sell the company for multi-billion dollar. So I think there is a great opportunity here. As Albert Einstein says, at the middle of difficulty lies opportunities. We have a difficult situation with neurological disorder, but that gives us an opportunity to partner with business leaders, because we are scientists, we're not good in business. We need to partner with business leaders and then bring the investors, from all sectors, mm-hmm. venture capital and so on, to this game and take a difficult situation, come up with a solution that's innovative, and then fund this. Not only take it to market, which creates jobs and creates basically money, but also tackle neurological
disorders. Right, and can it create new drugs too, right? I
mean, absolutely, yes, and new devices and combination of drug and devices.
Right. Why are the good drugs, in other words, the ones that actually work, so expensive?
Well, the claim is that it's cost $1 billion to bring a drug, and it takes 10 years to do that. Mm-hmm. And but I think with the new progress and discoveries in the field of artificial intelligence and basically supercomputing, in next 5 years, you probably heard of Watson Medicine, the supercomputer Watson from IBM. In next 5 years, the understanding of medicine across disciplines will be multiplied by many folds.
Right. It doesn't seem fair that some people are able to buy the drugs that can heal them.
Correct.
Or take 72 pills that are cheaper, that's not going to be as good. You know that.
That's correct. And I think that is a question that goes to the core of the medical ethics. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's okay to increase a cost of a drug for 5,000 times from the shareholder standpoint, but mm-hmm. is that ethically? Maybe it's legally okay, but is that ethically fine? And if you're a doctor, you know, basically you would oppose to that. And I think there should be an ethical standard that protects patients, and there should be guidelines put in place that, you know, or propositions that mm-hmm. do not allow increase right. of drug in that level.
And I think they're moving towards it. Thanks for coming by.
Pleasure. Pleasure meeting
you. How did my brain work during this?
Perfect. Thank you. Better than mine.
No. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I am Esprit Deborah, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm here with Anthony Devani. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited as well.
So, word around the block is you became an entrepreneur at 12 years old.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? I mean,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Absolutely. I think it just came from a place of need. My mom put a budget every year for like $80 to get my, you know, favorite pairs of shoes. And I really wanted a new pair of Air Jordans, which were $150. So she wouldn't pay for all of it. So basically, I started knocking on doors and doing every kind of work I can, from mowing lawns and doing garden work in order to, you know, get the money to buy the Air Jordans that I really wanted.
Right.
So it really gave me a valuable lesson in how much it took to get that 100 extra dollars or so.
And then where did you go from there? What was the first company that you built?
Yeah, so after college, I moved out to Dubai on a whim.
Amazing.
I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a job lined up. I didn't know the language.
Where did you go to college?
I went to school at University of North Carolina, Wilmington.
So North Carolina to Dubai. Okay.
North Carolina to Dubai. And I just really bought a one-way ticket there because I knew I would absolutely hate it the first 6 months. So I wanted to create not a comfort zone. So I really wanted to push myself out of that comfort zone in order to truly make it work. So that's where my journey started in Dubai.
And what business did you create in Dubai?
My first business was a marketing and events company where we were working with five-star hotels to create events and platforms for talented individuals to perform musically. So that was not bought out, but we partnered with Puma and MTV.
Incredible.
And created a great platform for individuals to display their talents.
That's incredible. And now you have a company called Creo.
Yes.
Right? And you build luxurious, like, art for the home. Is that right? Am I saying it right?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm the CEO of the Devani Group. That's also the managing partner of Creo. And we're based out in Italy, outside of Venice, Italy. Mm-hmm. And we have a fierce commitment to passion and excellence. So really taking an old world craftsmanship and blending art and design to create some of the most beautiful products for bath, living, and home. Really, truly creating the world's most luxurious brand.
Like with marble and what other materials?
Yeah, so basically we have absolutely unlimited capabilities with marble and stone, but we have the ability to incorporate other materials like metals, woods, and glass. And every piece is carved out of a solid block and romanced by our Italian artisans, maybe 25, 30 hours by hand.
And you were saying it's almost like taking and being inspired from Michelangelo.
Well, we're following the ancient techniques of the greats like Michelangelo. Sometimes it just takes a hammer. We're just producing products or projects with a hammer and a chisel. So creating the, you know, following those ancient artistic rules and techniques, but also mixing some of the most technology out there by having the most technology advanced machines like water jets, CNC, laser cut.
What would you say is one adjective that describes you as an entrepreneur?
Passionate. Absolutely passionate.
And when did you know that marble and creating this for the home was what you wanted to focus your time on?
So I have a great love for the arts. And, you know, once I see an art piece, I truly get goosebumps. And that's exactly how I feel about each one of our products. I really want to bring sculptural, functional art into the home. And we want to maintain the integrity of each particular piece. So we're not mass produced. We're very much and what's great about marble is it has its own DNA. It's like you and I. There's no piece that's going to be like you,
right,
or like me. Every piece of marble is completely different in its own right. So each piece is produced specifically for, you know,
we're all unique.
We are all unique.
Anthony, yes. What has been the most exciting thing about building Creo?
It's real, the challenges. You know, I think as entrepreneurs, we should always be, one of the key elements is anticipation. We should anticipate the highs, but we should also anticipate the lows. So when the lows come, we're prepared for those. And when preparation meets opportunity, that's when success happens.
Who have been your key mentors in getting where you are today?
I was a big, you know, as a child, I loved reading autobiographies and reading about, you know, successful people and really following their paths. And I would say I have many. It's hard to, you know, name just one, but I think one of the most recent ones that I really, who I really truly respect as a person, a businessman, and individual is Tony Robbins.
Of course. Of course. Who doesn't? What would you say a typical day looks like for you?
Typical day, I'm usually up around 4:30 in the morning. I'm speaking
early.
Early. I've always been up at that time. Speaking with Italy, my day starts with talking with production and talking with our engineers and architects, making sure whatever projects we're working on are on schedule. And then I'm on the road. I travel quite a bit. I've had well over 100 flights last year. And just living out of a suitcase with my wife, really, between New York, Miami, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So it's quite a hectic schedule.
And you have some of the best artisans just outside Venice, Italy, working with you. How do you find them?
It's actually generations and generations. So we have fathers whose sons are now with us. And it's actually, you know, it's pretty sad because it's a lost trade of work. A lot of people are getting into computers and technology, but you see less and less people actually working with their hands and being an apprentice. So the people that work in our factory are really, really passionate. It's in their blood. It's in their veins. They absolutely, truly love what they do. They're artists.
So you encourage hiring family within your organization?
I don't necessarily encourage it. It just so happens we are a family business. So for us, it works really well. And, you know, I don't see a problem with that in my situation anyway.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Esprit Devora, and this is Business Rockstars. We're here with Anthony Devani from Creo. Anthony, what's been one huge challenge your company has faced?
I think one challenge is growing too fast. So, you know, a lot of times we tend to just, you know, as entrepreneurs, we get excited and want to put as much money as we can right into marketing. But it's really important that you have the right sales structure and foundation in order to support the marketing. So really managing the growth is very important, because if you're not fulfilling orders, then your customer service goes down. And, you know, the American market can be very unforgiving.
I mean, what do you do? It's such a unique industry. What do you do about social media and marketing? Do you guys utilize social?
Absolutely. So it's something that is, I think, very important to reach your audience. So we have a team dedicated just for social media. It's really important to not just, you know, to really engage. And when we, right. on the social media side, we don't just post stuff about our products, because I kind of like to compare it to going to a party. Nobody wants to just talk to somebody that's always talking about themselves.
Totally.
You know, so we try to be informative and create fresh, new content that's actually interesting for people to read and share.
Now, since your clients are higher end, like hotels, what is your voice in social? Like, how do you attract your target market?
Our target market is, you know, we're B2B, so we work with architects, designers, and developers that work on a certain caliber of project. So it's really being able to identify them through various means. LinkedIn, I think, is a great tool that we certainly utilize. And as we're spending a little bit more money on the marketing side of things, we're tending to see more people that are actually finding us as well. And we also attend trade shows that are relevant for our industry. But we're, you know, being a luxury brand, it's important not to overexpose ourselves. So we're also not trying to be everywhere and anywhere.
Right.
Really targeting and focusing on how we want to present ourselves and who represents us.
Of course. What's next for Crayo?
What's next? Well, we are we're constantly creating new products. Again, innovation is absolutely key, because in our industry, when you have a beautiful design, it can easily be copied or replicated. But we don't stay too worried about that. We stay on top of making sure that we work with the top designers that are constantly innovating and designing some of the most amazing, beautiful new products that the market has really seen. We're truly trying to shake up and disrupt the market.
I'm curious. I mean, working with such a luxurious brand, how did you get the funding in the beginning?
Self-funding. So it's all been, you know, I'm not a big fan of debt. So to this day, we have no debt. Everything has been self-funded.
That's amazing.
So, you know, really...
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So really being like old school and the fact of just knocking on doors and just starting really small and really working ourselves from the ground up.
Can you tell me a little bit about, I would love to know about your first customer.
My first customer. Actually, our first customer was a designer that was actually consulting for us on the marketing side of things. She really absolutely loved our company and our product. And she was consulting us on the social media side and, you know, advising what best it would be for the U.S. market, what strategies. And we listened to her, but she ended up also having a client that wanted a custom table made that looked like it was aged for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So actually, the chief artisan and the original founder that started the mother company 54 years
right.
ago was the one that was actually doing all the sculpting himself. And this man, Danilo, he's 78 years old, cancer survivor, 2 strokes, but he still shows up at the factory every morning and is sculpting away.
Incredible.
You know, he's not involved on the business side of things, but he leaves all of those headaches for us, but he just follows what he loves and is just passionate about sculpting. That's what he taught us, that follow your passion and absolutely pursue it. And it's my philosophy as well.
You know, there's so many people that are like, how do I get started? How do I do this? What are some tips that you would give a new entrepreneur?
Write down your ideas, as silly as you think they might be, and really listen to your gut. Listen to your instinct. Don't listen to other people. That's actually outside noise. You know,
I always say your intuition is your oracle.
Absolutely. Your intuition is everything. And you just have to silence all the noise, you know, around you and listen to your gut. So I would say find out what you're passionate about. It's important to be passionate, number one. And then just follow through and just go, go, go. And don't let anything get in your way.
Thank you so much, Anthony, for sharing the story of Crayo. This was awesome having you on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Esprit Devorah, and this is Business Rockstars.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text NET to 79645. That's N-E-T to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text NET to 79645. That's N-E-T to 79645.
Hi, this is Fred Dreyer, former Rams defensive end. Football season just ended, and you can bet teams are already hard at work scouting new talent for next season. But if you're running a small business, you need to know where to go to find top recruits. LinkedIn, it's where people go every day to make connections, grow in their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends the qualified candidates you want to spend time talking to make a quality hire you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit LinkedIn.com/solution. Get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/solution. Terms and conditions apply.
What are some ways to grow your business using Snapchat that maybe you haven't thought about? Cynthia Johnson's going to answer that question and share some of the ways that she does it. She's the CEO and co-founder of Ip City Media. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Cynthia, pleasure to have you on the show with us again.
Thank you. Yep.
Break it down for us.
So, yeah.
How do you use Snapchat? You were voted like top three Snapchat marketers to follow or something like that.
Yeah, in Mashable. It was interesting. I was like, oh, thanks, I guess. No. So the thing about Snapchat that people don't, and it's actually all social media really, is that there's the people that, and the companies that have all day to make content. And that's great. Good for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. But at its core, it's a communication device. And so communicating with people individually, one-on-one, we actually ran a case study where these alumni, they necessarily wouldn't answer the phones or, you know, and they're, you know, the company's trying to get in touch with them. And instead of them calling, they would send them Snapchats. And they would have conversations via Snapchat. And it's amazing, like the turnout for our events increased significantly. Donations increased significantly because the communication...
By using Snapchat.
By using Snapchat more as a communication device, less as a publishing device. Because not every company can do that. Not everyone has an entire Snapchat team. Not every person. You know, I like to think that my life's amazing, but it's not like super exciting.
It's all relative to some people.
Exactly. Another thing you can do is if, you know, you're doing something really cool in one day, it's just a turn.
On vacation. Or
vacation or whatever.
A cool event or something.
You know, this would be great to like spread out a little bit. Just put your phone on airplane mode, take a bunch of Snapchats and they'll save in your phone and you can send them later.
There you go.
Things like that are great. And then, of course, swapping your Snapchat account with someone else. Mm-hmm. That's always really
people go, what the heck is swapping it?
Yeah.
Tell us what it is.
So if we swapped, I would log into your account for a day and you would log into my account for a day and we would communicate with each other's audiences. Yeah. And that's a really great, easy, fast way to grow an audience if you find someone who's sort of in line with who you are and also has, you know, maybe just some following or whatnot. And the takeovers are great.
A lot of my friends are doing takeovers now.
Yeah.
They've got 50, 100,000, half a million, 2 million followers, and they're always swapping each other's accounts.
Yeah, always swapping.
I'm going to finally start doing it too. I'm going to start hopping on theirs. So I love that. But how does somebody know if Snapchat's the right move? I feel like there's so many people out there that are like,
you know, oh, another social media platform. Snapchat's for the Gen Z, you know, 12-year-old to 18-year-olds, and then millennials as well. But what do you say to the person, though, that's like, how do I know if Snapchat's the right move for me? Is there a context that you could add?
Yeah, have a goal. And
just don't build a bunch of following of a bunch of kids.
Right, and this isn't just in social media in general. It's like you're never going to be everywhere. You're just not going to do it.
Have a goal always.
Yeah, always have a goal. And if Snapchat isn't helping you get closer to achieving that goal, then don't use Snapchat. And if you have this aha moment where you realize or you see something or you do some research and, oh, maybe it is the best way.
Yeah.
Great, go for it. And don't look at it the same way everyone else does. Your business is different. You're different. Mm-hmm. Use it, again, the best way to achieve your goal, whether that's geofilters or communication or pushing out content all day and that works for you, then, you know, but don't just do it to sort of keep up with everyone.
Let's talk about let's talk about geofencing because some people don't even know what that word means.
Okay.
Breakdown, I just read a great article about how different companies are using geofencing technology for both marketing and for their employees. Break down some examples of geofencing, specifically using Snapchat.
So, actually, one great way to do it is when I was working at this company before, there were lots of different brick and mortar locations, and the company actually doubled in size in less than a year. And so a great way for people to get to know each other was to have like different designed out for like one location and actually send it to the different, the others. So you'd circle, you know, the block or the address and for 24 hours or 48 or however long you want it there, very inexpensive, that would play. And now you have all this content from your staff. And now they all have a new reason to sort of be introduced to this new facility or this new place or new people.
They're going to be on Snapchat anyways.
They are on Snapchat anyway.
Might as well integrate it into your business.
Exactly. And give everybody a reason to communicate with each other and with the company. And it's very inclusive that way. So that's one example of how to use it.
But, which is perfect because, I mean, so many people could be using all these different technologies. They just don't know about them, which is why we're breaking it down for them right here. Right. CEO and co-founder of Ip City Media, Cynthia Johnson, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And we're talking about some unconventional ways that maybe you haven't thought about for how to use Snapchat to grow your business. We just talked about geo-targeting, geo-fencing technologies. What are other things? I mean, there's people like DJ Khaled on Snapchat with 10 million followers.
You know, if you're trying to build followers, one is, you know, you have to use the QR code, the ghost, like be creative, put your face in it, put it out there. That's one way. Again, Snap, you know, there's Snap Cash. So, you know, I like to send some people a dollar every once in a while and they get so confused. They're like, what's Snap Cash? Because no one knows it's there. But then they get a dollar and they're really interested in who you are. You're like, oh, just saying hi, here's a dollar.
You know,
this is $1. Like, you know, have a great day, buy something nice. No. So, you know, looking at all of the functionality and the tools that come with Snapchat is there's a ton of them. The Snap filters, you can take over events. Again, I've seen people do this all the time. They're not even attending the event or, you know, it's kind of like Facebook targeting even if you wanted to get really clever. If there's an event you're trying to, you've pitched for, I mean, take over their office. I mean, I have a friend, Blake Jameson, who did this 90 Days to MoMA project and actually put his art on Snapchat geofilters at the SF MoMA every single day on every single floor. And, you know, he got meetings with some of the people there that would have helped him get his art in. And it's very, you know, accelerated growth. Just know people are using it, put it out there in the most creative way possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snapchat. Great platform to be using.
Right.
It's contextual. It's not for everybody, as we talked about. And we went over some very practical ways people can benefit from it. Appreciate you for coming on the show and doing an insider with us. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that the host nor Business Rockstars is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.